In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, have you thought about the rise and fall of great empires, kingdoms, republics, and nations? Some get established and survive for a relatively long time, yet they all end up in collapse and disintegration. This is what we learn from scriptures about the way God related to people and nations. The book of Proverbs makes a profound statement about that in chapter 14. It says, "The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." God's Word. Brothers and sisters, our passage speaks of the overthrow of wickedness and abiding nature of what is righteous. Being overthrown means being removed from position or power. Yet, in our context, this is self-inflicted. It is through one's own evil doing. The righteous is the exact opposite of the wicked. The word righteous is derived from the word right, so it speaks of that which is morally or legally right. The original Hebrew word has spiritual dimensions. It means a conduct which is in harmony with God's prescribed laws. This applied to the people of Israel and their societies and nation. It covers all areas of life and their relationship to God and one another and other people. It included their family structures and their duties and obligations of love and care for the weak, elderly parents, the strangers, and even for their internal refugees and fugitives. It even speaks of being caring and merciful to enemies. Idolatry, adultery, religious hypocrisy, materialism, greed, injustices, and exploitation of the poor, repression of the weak, moral corruption, and even murders ultimately led to the division, fragmentation, defeat, and the end of the nation of Israel. So the existence of the ancient nation of Israel no longer represented a credible reflection of being a righteous kingdom of God on earth. By the turn of the 7th century BC, the moral and spiritual corruption of the nation impacted every area of life. The first chapter of the book of Isaiah describes in verse 4 the nation as a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. Isaiah goes on to describe its collapse in a strong language. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. So, even the religion was corrupted and rejected by the Lord. Family structures and unity fell apart. This was combined with social evils. There was so much injustice against the weak, the elderly, the poor, the orphans, and widows. In the second chapter of the book of Zephaniah, we read the Lord's rebuke. "Gather together, yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." Brothers and sisters, in the Bible, The earthly kingdom of Israel represented an example of other nations that start well and expand. It experienced much regional or world power, prestige, prosperity, and internal peace. The nation, however, had a noble divine mission to bear witness to the goodness, mercy, wisdom, and holiness of God to other peoples and nations. It was to serve as a light and usher in the divine plan for God's blessing to all nations, tribes, and races. This was planned through the promised Savior of the world, the righteous Messiah King. God's plan for the blessing of all people through Christ required major steps and arrangements. Among those was the establishment of a theocratic nation. It was first ruled by judges until the people insisted on being ruled by an earthly king like other nations. Still, the Lord blessed them with King David. David was not perfect, but he had his heart and mind set on doing what is right and honorable. He desired not his own glory, but God's abiding, glorious, and abiding, borderless kingdom. His own family was wrecked by jealousies and competitions for power and privileges. Some of his sons murdered brothers and children, born and unborn, who might have competed with them over the kingdom's throne. Brothers and sisters, strong nations are initially characterized by a semblance of God's image of goodness and righteousness. This is expressed in disciplined, just, and benevolent governance. Their internal success and external strength depend on their unified quest for that which reflects prescribed divine righteousness, that is, honesty, orderliness, moral integrity, compassion, and social justice, as well as strong social and family ties. These are also behind the success of nations. They start very well and enjoy admirable reputations as exemplary application of justice internally and externally. In time, corruption, greed, injustice destroy the internal fabric of the nation. Four successive empires ruled the Israelites after the collapse of the nation of Israel. They were the Babylonians, Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. Each of those nations also experienced good times of political and economic success and grew in influence and power. Powerful nations bring other peoples and nations under their control. They take advantage of them and of their human and material resources. Still, they too, one by one, decline and fall apart. Internal divisions usually arise because of conflicts within the circles of the ruling class. Their own people and the populations of other nations under their authority begin to rebel against their oppressiveness and exploitation. As their internal strength wanes, their external power and influence shrink. Other nations begin to oppose them and seek to compete over the same resources. This inevitably leads to wars, destructions, deaths, and much human suffering, especially for the weak and poor. And the cycle continues. In history, since all empires or world powers are ruled by fallen human beings, sooner or later they divide, weaken, and disintegrate. In each case, their decline is rooted in the disintegration of their internal moral fabric. Injustice, greed, oppression, and violence gradually lead to dissatisfaction, to envy, competition for power and privilege, and ultimately lead to divisions and even violent conflicts. Externally, their oppression and exploitation of other peoples gradually build up resentments and rebellions. This is exactly what happened with King David's earthly kingdom. In history, This seems to be the case with all empires, kingdoms, and nations. Yes, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Brothers and sisters, God's purpose, however, for Israel was for the blessing of all families of the earth through Christ. His kingdom is rooted in His righteousness and self-giving love. He is unlike all earthly kingdoms, empires, and nations. He seeks no earthly power or resources. Instead, He graciously builds a universal kingdom of a new humanity formed after His image of holiness and self-giving love. His is the abiding kingdom with no boundaries promised to King David. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations at all times throughout the whole earth by the message of the gospel. Amen.